Good morning. I'm Chastity Jones. Welcome, friends, new and familiar. The psalmist reminds us, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. May our hearts be open today to God's presence, peace, and purpose. Welcome to worship, one and all, no matter where you are on your faith journey. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionleesewer.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. Today's radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members. Thank you to everyone who supports these ministries. This morning, we welcome missionaries Alex Melendondo Lizardi and Samara Cintron Garcia. They will be sharing information on the ministries in Colombia. The September meeting of Ruth Circle will be held on Tuesday at 2 p.m. in the Fireside Room. Kirby Hurd will be at the meeting to share information about CADA. Any women of Zion who are interested are welcome to attend. The Church Council will meet in the conference room at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. The Men's and Women's Breakfast Fellowship will meet on Wednesday at 8 p.m. at the Nicollet Cafe in St. Peter. The Zion Bell and Adult Choirs are recruiting members to join the fun. If you're interested, join us at rehearsals beginning on Wednesday. Bell Choir at 5:30 and the Chancel Choir at 6:30. Join us next week, September 14th, as we honor and celebrate the members of Zion who have reached the age of 90 and older. There will be a cake and ice cream reception following the service. On Sunday, September 21st, during the worship service, we will witness the confirmation of Callie Kale, Chloe Kale, Nacy Sullivan, Riley Sullivan, and Elena Thoman, who have prayerfully prepared to affirm their baptismal vows and embrace a life rooted in Christ. Please join us in worship with us to help celebrate their dedication. There will be an FCA meeting starting Tuesday the 16th in the library at the Lesueur Henderson High School at 7:30 a.m. All are welcome to attend. Because of the work being done on the south parking lot at a cost of approximately $90,000, the Church Council voted to increase the fundraising goal by $50,000 to $150,000. To date, just over $104,000 has been raised. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us join in worship.
May today be enough. When I look back to a better time, may today be enough. As I work for a better future, may today be enough. When all of my efforts result in failure, may today be enough. On the day after a complete success, may today be enough. Though I doubt things I once knew confidently, may today be enough. In times when I have more answers than questions, may today be enough. When I can't shake the feeling there is nothing more, may today be enough. As I become consumed with the notion that I am here for a bigger purpose, may today be enough. That I meet, the family that I have, the air that I breathe, the gift of today, be enough.
We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you please join with me now in our call to worship? Welcome to the banquet of hope, the open bar of prayer, the circle of acceptance. Welcome to a fiesta of joy, a celebration of compassion, where every seat is a place of honor. Welcome to a party for God's revelation of love, where all seating is equal and all are welcome. We come because we have an invitation, not on paper, but simply our names as we hear them called by God. Will you please rise now as you are able and join together in our opening hymn? Now in our prayer of invocation. Good and gracious God, we come to this gathering of community where there are no barriers and all our abilities are celebrated as gifts. We come to receive your hospitality of caring for each other and to learn from you how to offer such a celebration to stranger, friend, chosen family, those whose faces are unfamiliar to us, and the face who meets us in the mirror. Amen. Friends, God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. There is no end to it. I ask now that you join together in our prayer of confession. God of peace, we will not find justice in our apathy. We will not find that elusive wholeness with our quarreling. We will not find our hope for unity with only our doctrines. We will not find our misplaced love with our hating. We will not find that rest we crave in our overflowing calendars. We will not find the peace you offer in our well-nursed grudges. But we will find you in the brokenness of the bread and in the breaking of our hearts. We will find you when we drain the cup and refill it with our gifts, and when we offer it to a little child. We will find you when we squeeze closer together, making room at the table for all your people. Have mercy on us, and help us to find you, O God. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, there's no greater joy in the heart of God than in this moment now. For in this moment, we declare our need for God's mercy and forgiveness. Therefore, because Christ died for us on the cross, because he personally bore our sins there, we rejoice. We are loved and accepted as we are today. Thanks be to God. Amen. As God's own forgiven, justified people, let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you always. We begin a time of prayer today in the silent meditations of our own hearts. Let us pray. Almighty God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we come before you in prayer, lifting to you our joys and concerns, the hopes and fears of our lives, and we thank you, gracious God, that you know us better than we know ourselves, and that even now, before we can find the words for them, you know the concerns we carry. Even as you hear us, Lord, we pray that we may open our own ears and hearts to your voice in our lives. We ask your help, God, during times of trouble and doubt, to see with new eyes and hear with new ears the direction you will have us go, the future you have in mind for us. Let us not be tempted, God, by the things of this world that draw us away from you. Let us not fall into fear and cynicism, because we do not wish to give in to the hatred of those who are different from us. We pray your blessing upon the people of Ukraine, our ally, our friend of democracy. We pray for the people of Gaza and Israel, who face what seems to be a never-ending conflict. Surround and protect the innocent lives especially, Lord. Wherever there is strife, restore to your people the hope of peace and freedom. This morning we lift up before you the people of Ascension Catholic Church in Minneapolis, especially the families of those young ones, an 8 and 10-year-old, who were lost to gunfire. Gracious God, put down the violence in our world. Heal our hearts of this recent trauma. Hear the prayers we lift up for those we love, our families, our neighbors, our friends, those who are suffering with pain today, those who are ill, those who are recovering, Stuart and John. Be near to those who grieve, Lord, especially the family of Maya Moss. And we ask your blessing on Sherman Denzer as he faces surgery tomorrow. Speed his recovery, Lord. Guide all of us, bless us, and uplift us. Hold us tenderly in your care, that we may grow and flourish in your love and grace. For we are all sons and daughters of yours. We are heirs of the promise. We are called to be ambassadors of hope. Hear these prayers, Lord, and all those that are silent and hidden within our hearts. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who together with the Father and the Holy Spirit are worshiped, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading this morning is from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made the one who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word.
As Alex and Shamara come forward for the reading of the gospel, I just want to let you know what a joy it is to welcome them here today. They both grew up in Puerto Rico, not far from where my son-in-law grew up. So this is kind of old home week for my son-in-law, who will meet them this afternoon, as well as other friends. And this, for me, is the fulfillment of many weeks of anticipation. Come on up. I began planning for this back in the spring, shortly after Easter, and I announced to the council, said I would like to have some of our global mission co-workers come and visit. So everyone was thinking, oh, that'll happen fairly soon. Here they are today. As I prepare to wrap up my ministry here at Zion, this is the fulfillment of a promise and a sense of accomplishment that they're here with us today. And it's moments like these that I will miss very much with you. So would you please lead us in the gospel?
That's new for me. Thank you. That's very new for me. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. First of all, thank you for having us here sharing this time with you guys. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in.
I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of this, brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me."
And now, Lord, may the words that come from our hearts, that are the fruit of our meditations, be for your joy and the building of this community in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a kid by the name, he goes by the name of Camilo Anderson Chavez. He was 23 years old, and he was part of the youth ministry of his church, local church in a municipality in Colombia, very far from Bogota, the capital city in Colombia. He was even baptized in that community, and with his mother, in a particular moment, he even helped raise up a congregation in that same neighborhood, in that municipality. But this kid, Camilo, he came to this town very young, and he was taken care by the pastor of the church because his mom had to work very far from that community. So when he was very young, she used to leave his kid with this community in charge of this pastor. And there was one day on October at 1 o'clock, he was finishing a fasting with his youth group. He was at the end of this fast and a retreat time. And he was finishing the fasting and he was having lunch with the pastor and the community and in the church. And right at the end of the lunch that they were having to finish the fasting, there was someone who appeared at the doorstep of the church in a motorcycle. And they asked Camilo to step out of the church. He even preached that morning. The guy who asked him to step out of the church and get into the motorcycle, he told him, "Get out, come with me." That day, as I was telling you, he even preached in the church. He even had the keys of the church. He opened the church that morning. But Camilo never returned to the church. And I listened to this story from the pastor. It was one of the first trips we had to take in Colombia. And this pastor, she was a woman pastor. She was telling me this story, trembling of fear. Because she did not know if she could tell this story, and if she was safe telling this story. And one of her questions when she was talking to me that morning was precisely this question that the gospel brings forth. In the middle of all this suffering, when did we see you? When we're going through all these situations, when did we see you? Because as we were reading this scripture passage, it's very easy to see God in the first part of the passage, where there is a big kingdom, a king, a glorious stuff, big stuff going on. But it's very difficult to see God in the midst of suffering. It's very difficult to see God in the vulnerable people. It's very difficult to see God in the stranger, in the things that are completely foreign to us and to our experience. And part of what we experience and work with while being in Colombia had to do with that very question. Where do we see God in the middle of suffering?
So as part of Global Ministries, we answered, and Global Ministries and you as a church answered this question. When did we see you sick? But we acted. In this case, we acted and we're doing things. So to explain a bit of what Global Ministries is, Global Ministries is a common missional witness of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ and the United Church of Christ, working with approximately 250 faith-based international partners in close to 90 countries, 23 national denominations, and 46 ecumenical partners.
The Latin America and Caribbean office currently works with dozens of partner churches and ecumenical organizations in 20 countries where we are responding together to God's call to serve all creation. We have been accompanying partners as they grow innovative ministries through prayer, the sending and receiving of mission co-workers and financial support. But also, this missional ministry is accompanied by our partners in the rich exchange of ideas and lasting friendships.
In Latin America, the region we make part of, the church reminds us that ministry is not limited to pastors and missionaries, which is what we always think, but includes all walk of life, nurses, teachers, sociologists, lawyers, economists, human rights advocates, farmers, health educators, social workers, construction workers, physicians, and you can continue naming them all. But all of those who engage in preaching through their talents, energy, and time to share the good news of God's love that calls for justice and peace for all of humanity.
In order to make this plausible, we are led by five core values that lead our work and walk in mission. Community, mutuality, justice, peace, and presence.
But two of these values are crucial to the work we do in Colombia. It's justice, by which we mean living out God's radical love by confronting power that denies the fullness of life and the integrity of creation. And also peace, which implies embodying reconciling relationships with God, humanity, and creation.
Mission is always a community in mission for the defense and protection of life. We always tend to see missions in the church as going out and just preach the gospel and make converts. But also mission for us is everywhere and every time we do work in the protection and the defense and of the sustainability of life. And these are words of the Brazilian theologian Paulo Suez. And for more than 60 years, Colombia has been mired in a complex internal armed conflict. The story I was telling a couple of minutes ago, it's imbued in that armed conflict. Starting different actors and staging different territories of the nation, the alarming number of its victims amount to more than 10 million people. With nearly 12 peace processes in his history between insurgent and paramilitary groups, even today the impacts of this conflict persists in everyday life. Around 1990, Colombia signed an agreement with the M19 guerrilla movement, and in 2016 it managed to sign a peace agreement with the FARC EP guerrillas. And there are over, they say already, the Red Cross, in a report they gave last year, they were saying that already Colombia is not in, it's not going through one armed conflict. There are over 8 or 9 armed conflicts all at the same time happening in this country.
But also to emphasize, usually, like in the story Alex was telling at the beginning, we think of the victims of the armed conflict as men, because they are the ones taken, they are the ones that go into war, but we forget about the women in this kind of context. The woman pastor he was telling about, she was also a victim. She was not taken in that case, but she was left with the remains of what an armed conflict gives. That is the trauma, all the memories. She has to take care of the situation after the kid was taken. So most of the women victims of the armed conflict, based on the Constitutional Court of Colombia, they were categorized as victims because of their gender. Just because of their gender, not because they were taken or anything, just that they suffered this effect because of their gender of being women. So most of them, they suffered physical or psychological torture. Torture, sorry for the mispronunciation. Their kids, like the story Alex was telling, their kids are forcibly recruited by legal and illegal groups. Why I say this? Because they are also taken by Colombia's military that are legal groups. They are sexually exploited or sexually abused. They are forced into having abortions, taking pills, or having very horrible abortion process. The exploitation or enslavement to perform domestic tasks or roles considered feminine, like they're the ones that take care of the of the cleaning, of the taking care of the kids and everything, sexual violence, in some cases feminicides, and they are forcibly displaced from their territories. If you have seen the movie Encanto, when the abuela is telling to Mirabel her story of why did she leave her town and all of the people that follow them, that is forced displacement. It's not just one family, it's 100, 200 families walking through the jungle away because the armed groups came and told them, like, if you don't leave, you have 48 hours, 24 hours to leave, or we will kill your kids or we will kill you. So they have to get out of there as fast as possible, mostly during the night. And how does JustaPaz, the organization we support and are part of in Colombia, they're an organization of the Christian Mennonite Church of Colombia, which acts in pursuit of Jesus Christ from an Anabaptist identity with people, churches, and social organizations that seek to exercise active citizenship of these people that are suffering in the different territories and want to help them fully live their rights and contribute from their being and doing in the construction of a just, nonviolent, and peaceful society with all creation. But you would have been wondering, when did JustaPaz started or how long has it taken them? JustaPaz was founded in 1990. Which it developed an extensive experience at the local, regional, national, and international level, together with Christian evangelical churches, socio-ecclesial organizations, and institutions in training people and organizations and action processes for the construction of lifestyles that lead to just and sustainable peace. Based on their local identity and capacities, because this is not just a standard training and helping people develop, because Colombia is very diverse. It's helping them with their identity and with their necessities and their capacities in those situations. In this way, during the last 30 years, JustaPaz has managed to position the voices of the churches in spaces of advocacy and fundamental decision-making to improve the living condition of communities that have lived during the armed and social conflict in Colombia for more than 60 years.
This organization, we spent 4 years working with this organization as part of the ministry we do. They have five main areas of projects of service. They serve in five different perspectives or projects. One of them is called peace building and reconciliation. Another area is called nonviolence and conscious objection, because in Colombia, military service is still mandatory. But many kids do not want to go to war, to this armed conflict we were talking about. They do not want to serve the military there. And they must have the choice to either to go or not to go. And this organization helps the kids to know their rights and know how to object if they want to object. Also, communication for peace and our accompaniment center on two main areas, organizational projects. I used to work in the area of historical memory, human rights, and political advocacy. And in that image you see there, as the story I was telling at the beginning, is a story of a disappearing person. And these are pictures of disappearing persons in Colombia that disappeared. And there what I used to do is to sit down with victims of the armed conflict. And many times just interview them and have them tell me their story of how they were wounded by this armed conflict, how they were victimized by this armed conflict. And many times the stories could be about disappearing of people. Sometimes the stories are about people that are being displaced. But the thing is that many of these stories are being denied by the local government. Like, we don't believe this is happening. We don't believe this took place. So what we do is that we gather all these stories and systematize all these stories and bring them forth to the local government to tell them this is happening. And this continues happening. And that's part of what we do. But not only to denounce or publicly señalar, to show, I'm sorry, I'm trying to translate in my head, I'm translating and also, yeah, to point out what is happening. It's not only to point out the suffering that they are going through, but also to demonstrate the actions these communities are taking in order for this to not happen again. These are communities, Christian communities, that are trying to endure these hardships by themselves sometimes. But not only to ask this, but also ask for local governments to reparate whatever they've been going through. So that's part of what we try to do.
When you get up here, you know all the words and then you forget them in Spanish and in English. We're so sorry for that. In my case, I accompany the area of women, peace, and environmental justice. That's me in the picture with very curly hair. And in this area, we serve by empowering the actions and leadership of women in scenarios of reconstruction of the social fabric in Colombia, with emphasis on women victims of all types of social and political violence, women leaders of communities and socio-ecclesial organizations, as well as the consolidation of their active and effective participation in decision-making spaces for the construction of a just and comprehensive peace. To give you some examples, I usually do this story because it was very impressive for me. We got to this territory. I lived in Bogota. If you don't know the Colombian geography, don't worry. I was there for 4 years and I still get confused. But we live in Bogota, which is in the center of the country. And I had to travel in an airplane to get to the department, to a department like a state, kind of like a state here, for like 1.5 hours. There, I had to take a bus for almost 2 hours to get to the municipality. And then I had to take a motorcycle for 3 hours in the jungle, crossing rivers and everything, under the sun, carrying all the materials, to get to this community of women that they are so isolated and in such a rural space that it's just a couple of houses, but very, it's like shacks will be that word?
Yeah, like shacks.
Like shacks. And the paramilitary group was next to the church, and that was it around there. So what do we do with them? We start empowering them because, like the story Alex said, that's a lot of other stories of women there that have witnessed most of the men in their community being taken, being disappeared, being killed in front of them. So all of these women, they have to take care of the community, of the kids, of not being killed by the armed groups. So we empowered them that they can, and they have done it for a lot of time, taking care of their communities, moving forward in their traumas and working with those traumas around it. And we work with, for example, seed capital money and peace initiatives, which they develop a proposal, which we help them construct. They submit that, they get approved for those seed capital money, and they can start doing different projects of environmental justice in their community. For that community, they did egg-laying chickens in local gardens around the church. But because of the rainy season there, everything got flooded, and it gets really difficult to get to the church where they were doing that, so they had to separate all the egg-laying chickens in the community, so each woman could have their sustain, their product, so they could eat as for their families. And also for, like I said, to get there 3 hours in motorcycle on pavemented roads. The kids, they can't go to church proper, to the school properly, because it's like a 20-30 minute walk, and girls get raped, they get disappeared, they get taken or whatever. So kids, girls, they don't want to go to school, and their parents don't want to send them. So why is it important for them, for the women in this community, to advocate for themselves? Because the government has a right to these kids, for them to get a proper education. Not just the boys, but also the girls. So that's why it's important for them to advocate based on their necessity. That's not the same necessity in all the territories. So part of that, of the things we do, is empower them so that their voices are heard in the government and in important decision-making spaces. So friends, this is the gospel lived out the very moment when we could answer the question, Lord, when did we see you? That mission, Christ's mission, is our mission. Seeing Christ in the least of this. When we hear about women risking their lives to lead peace talks, or youth resisting the lure of armed groups, or churches telling the truth about past violence, we are hearing Matthew 25 come alive. Jesus says, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was a stranger, I was in prison, and you came to me.
In Colombia, Christ is present in the displaced mother seeking safety, in the teenager saying no to war, in the widow demanding justice for her community. And when Justapaz, Global Ministries, and many other organizations walk with them, feeding, sheltering, advocating, they are in fact serving Christ. Friends, this message, the message of Matthew 25, is not about the future judgment. It is about our calling right now. The measure of our faith is not only in the songs we sing or the creeds we recite, but in whether we recognize or whether we are capable to recognize Jesus' face in the faces of those who suffer, and we're able to act.
And we may not all go to Colombia, but we can pray for peace builders, support ministries like Justapaz financially, learn the stories and share them, advocate for policies that promote justice and peace. And when we do, we are not just helping. We are meeting Jesus. We are loving him. We are honoring him.
At the end of our lives, the question will not be, how big was your church? How many Bible verses you did memorize? It will be, did you feed me? Did you welcome me? Did you clothe me? Did you visit me? May we be a people who can answer, yes, Lord, not with pride, but with gratitude, because in serving the least of these, we have found you.
And the mission field is not just over there in Colombia or another part of the world. It's wherever God calls us to defend life and work for justice and peace. And you guys know we have a lot of work and for justice and peace here, too. We may not, like I said earlier, we may not all go to Colombia. But I want to emphasize again that we can pray for these communities, advocate for policies that protect human rights, learn and share these stories so that God's vision of reconciliation spreads.
The words of Bishop Pedro Casaldáliga from Brazil reminds us what truly matters. And he used to say, at the end of the road, what will they tell me? Have you lived? Have you loved? And I, without saying anything, will open my heart full of names. May our hearts be full of names, names of people whose lives we have touched and defended in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Speechless for once. Thank you so much. What a wonderful message you've shared with us today. I'd like to ask our ushers to come forward today. Our practice of placing our gifts on the Lord's table is a profound yes to the invitation of God.
Sencilla como risa de niños cuando juegan, como gota de rocío que se rueda, como cruz de rústica madera. Dame una fe sencilla que se siente a la mesa de los pobres, que se alegre de alegrar sus corazones y que llore también con sus dolores. Una fe así, parecida a ti, sencilla como fue a la tierra tu venida, como fueron tus historias campesinas, como fue tu hogar en Palestina.
Dame una fe singela para curar com esperança a tristeza, para cantar por mais perdão nessa guerra, para avivar o pavio que fumega. Dá-me uma fé singela que não dá brecha e espaço à mentira.